Do you support the U.S. taking military action against Syria for Syria's use of chemical weapons? That's today's big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, August the 28th. I'll get it right. Wednesday, August 28th. Senior U.S. government officials say that a military strike against Syria could start as early as tomorrow. And they say that the intention of the attack is to send a message to the Syrian government, not necessarily to topple it. Secretary of State John Kerry says the Syrian government's use of chemical weapons against its own people is undeniable and inexcusable. We will talk about the planned military action against Syria and welcome your thoughts and questions. We'll talk about some of the options that are on the table and what this might accomplish with our guest expert and welcome your input at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our guest. We are very happy to have with us Jeremy Suri. He's a former history professor at UW-Madison. He is now the Mack Brown Distinguished Chair for Leadership in Global Affairs, History, and Public Affairs at the University of Texas, Austin. Also the LBJ School of Public Affairs and the Strauss Center for International Security and Law. He's written several books, including Liberty's Surest Guardian, American Nation Building from the Founders to Obama. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
I love your title.
Oh, yeah, it's a little long, isn't it?
Yeah, but it sounds like a military strike involving the United States on Syria is pretty much inevitable. It sounds like it could happen tomorrow. What's your general assessment of what's going on over there right now?
Well, I think you're right. I think the Obama administration has moved from debating whether to strike Syria now to a discussion of how to strike Syria. And I think they're moving forward with plans, plans I don't know. I don't think anyone outside the administration knows them in detail, but plans that will probably involve a variety of missile attacks on Syrian military positions. And I think this is largely a consequence of the reaction to the apparent chemical weapons attack on civilians by the Syrian military. And it's also now something that follows from the very strong rhetoric that both Vice President John Kerry, Secretary of State John Kerry and Vice President Joe Biden have used. They've spoken to in such strong terms, it would be very hard now not to do something of a military nature.
Yeah, let's take a listen to a part of Secretary of State's comments on the Syrian situation. John Kerry spoke on Monday about how Syria's use of chemical weapons against rebels is downright inexcusable.
The indiscriminate slaughter of civilians, the killing of women and children, and innocent bystanders by chemical weapons is a moral obscenity. By any standard, it is inexcusable, and despite the excuses and equivocations that some have manufactured, it is undeniable.
So, Professor Suri, is it undeniable? I mean, it's not absolutely proven yet, is it?
Well, the evidence points very, very clearly in that direction, but of course, you know, we don't know for certain. Most of us who have not been on the ground there, and of course, this evidence gets covered up very, very quickly. The UN inspectors attempted to go in late last week, and they were fired upon by Syrian forces and not allowed to go into the area. And that's actually when the Obama administration really began to ramp up its rhetoric. I will say that people who should know have made it very clear that they believe the Syrian government was responsible for this. The Arab League, which is most of the countries surrounding Syria, have all come out and blamed Syria, the Syrian government, for this. Many medical groups, including Médecins Sans Frontières, which have been in the area, have certainly pointed to clear evidence of a chemical attack. And it's hard to believe that anyone other than the government forces would have access to this degree of chemical weapons. This is a major attack. This is not a small usage of these weapons. So I think the evidence is pretty strong in that favor. Apparently, the Obama administration is going to give us more evidence in the next day or so. I imagine we'll see more evidence before the military strike occurs.
So even if there was, and it seems there was, a major chemical attack that the Syrian government was responsible for against its own people, why should the United States get involved in this?
That's the big question, Joy. The arguments for getting involved are threefold, I think. One, that this is now using a form of weapon that poses a grave danger, not just to the people of Syria, but to so many other people, including Americans. We have been quite fortunate for the last 50 years. These weapons have barely been used. They've been used in very small cases, but they have barely been used. There has been a clear taboo against using them. And once you allow these weapons to be used on a mass scale, they're more likely to be used in other places, including places that will directly affect Americans. That's one argument. The second is the argument that if Assad is willing to use these weapons, how do we know he won't give them to others who will use them in other ways against us and against our interests? And the third argument, of course, is the humanitarian argument, which has been there for a long time. This is a truly horrible civil war. There have been hundreds of thousands of deaths, a refugee crisis that's affecting all the countries around Syria. So it's those three arguments in some form, depending on who you talk to, which explain the reasons for the movement toward a military response.
So we heard a White House spokesman yesterday say that the goal of these strikes was not necessarily to take out the Assad regime, but to send a message. Talk more about what exactly the goal of these strikes would be.
Well, I'm not sure myself. As far as I can tell, the goal is to, first of all, punish parts of the Syrian military, forces that are believed to be loyal to Assad, that have been responsible for this attack and other attacks, and make it clear to them if they do this again, they will personally pay, which is to say they will be attacked by us. Second, I think the point is to also show the world that we're not going to sit by and allow Assad to cross what President Obama has called certain red lines without a response. But sending a message is very hard because a message can be misinterpreted. The interesting thing is that many people who are angry about the Syrian chemical weapons attacks or the alleged chemical weapons attacks are not necessarily happy about the United States getting involved militarily in the region. So the message could have many meanings to many different viewers.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take my next question was going to be related to John and Madison's question. So let me bring John on. Hi, John.
Hi. Well, you don't base military actions on supposition. One, you absolutely proved that chemical weapons have been used. They're present in the blood and fat for 2 to 4 weeks, for years in the ground. I'm referring to sarin now. And once you prove that they've been used, you make sure that they're used by the person you allege used them. This could be a false flag operation by the rebels to suck the United States in. Remember, we didn't prove weapons of mass destruction and we got sucked into Iraq by the Bush administration. 6% of Americans favor the war. The rest don't. The Arab League doesn't favor it. Why aren't we going to the UN? When Obama says there's a red line that's been crossed, red line doesn't mean military action. It can be all sorts of sanctions. And during a civil war, all sorts of blockades would have disastrous effects on the Assad regime. And the last thing I want to introduce is this. We can't be arbitrary anymore in these matters. We used white phosphorus in Fallujah. In 88, we supported an attack by Saddam Hussein on Basra where they used mustard and sarin. We provided the surveillance, and we knew since 83 that Saddam Hussein was using chemical weapons.
Well, I guess my a response to this, Professor Suri, especially we've talked a little bit about it, whether or not this has been proven or not, but isn't there other options for crossing this red line?
Sure, and these are great questions, and John has a lot of very, very good points, and they relate certainly to your question, Joy. I think there are other options, certainly, but they're diminishing by the day because the Assad regime has been fighting now for so long in the civil war, and we have, the United States and other countries have been doing so many things to try to cut off economic access to that regime, to sanction that regime. Pretty soon you run out of options. And it does appear that the Assad regime is willing to go beyond what is considered internationally acceptable behavior, which is to say using chemical weapons, mass killings of civilians, things that are not unique to Assad, and John is absolutely right about that. The world is filled with inconsistency, but that doesn't mean that when terrible acts occur, we just say because they occurred somewhere else that we shouldn't do anything about it here. The problem is that this is truly destabilizing the region in ways that do affect us. Syria borders Israel. Syria, of course, borders many other countries in the region. We could go around the list and talk about them, many of which are close allies of the United States, Turkey and Israel, many of which are close to oil-rich regions. And for better or for worse, we have to care about this. In terms of this, whether we're acting on supposition or evidence, it's very rare in this kind of case or in a criminal case where you have a smoking gun. You look at the preponderance of evidence, and it really does seem to point to Assad. And it's not just the United States saying that. This is different from the alleged weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, because there you had a White House that was pushing all the agencies in the United States to come to the conclusion that the weapons were there when we know they weren't. Here we have the opposite. We have a White House that's hoping the weapons aren't there, that's hoping they weren't used. When the prior attack occurred a few months ago, the White House wanted to minimize this. It's people who are generally against the war, generally against military intervention, including the Arab League, which opposes American intervention, which says that Assad is responsible for this. So the weight of the evidence clearly points in that direction. Unless one thinks that the Syrian government's going to allow us to go in and do truly open testing, we're going to have to go on a preponderance of evidence, and we're not going to have a smoking gun.
Our guest is Jeremy Suri. He is the Mack Brown Distinguished Chair for Leadership in Global Affairs, History, and Public Affairs at the University of Texas, Austin. Professor Suri, formerly with UW-Madison, talking with us about the U.S. Response to Syria and the Syrian government's use of chemical weapons. And our big question this hour, do you support U.S. military action against Syria? And why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 22 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, August the 28th. Today's big question is on the probable military strike against Syria. U.S. government officials say it could start as early as tomorrow. And we wonder what you think about that. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We are talking with our guest, Professor Jeremy Suri, and Gary on Facebook says, Obama will order a missile attack that will surely kill Syrian people, but it will be carefully designed not to hurt the one person who ordered the chemical weapons use. I am wondering what kind of message this actually is. Professor Suri?
Well, this is an interesting question that Gary raises, which in the end, the question is, should we target Assad personally? Generally, Gary's right. You don't go after individuals, because in part what we want Assad to do is give up and agree to some sort of negotiated settlement. That's really what we want. We want him to give up. And if someone will take him and offer him refuge, I think we'll be very happy for that to happen. The other reason we wouldn't attack him is because it's very hard. We don't exactly know where he is. And the question also is of regime change. Do we want to get involved in regime change here? I tend to agree with one of the points, though, Gary's question implies, which is that maybe if we are going to get involved militarily, we should target Assad if we see this truly as a criminal act. If the issue here is not of just strategic importance, but criminality, using weapons which we define as criminal weapons, then perhaps we should do that. But I think Gary's right. The likelihood is that the Obama administration will attack military elements that are responsible for carrying out these attacks, hoping that that will convince them not to do this again and maybe to revolt against Assad.
Leo in Waterloo is with us now. Hi, Leo.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What is your point or question?
I had a question for Professor Siri. I was wondering, like, I'm not too familiar with the whole situation in Syria, and kind of how a previous caller was mentioning, I guess my question is, why Syria? Is there any other incentive despite, like, humanitarian incentives?
Well, it's a great question, Leo, because as you and John pointed out, there are many other places where horrible things are happening. Syria gets attention, first of all, because it's in the news as a result of the horrible civil war and the chemical weapons attack, but second, because of its location. This is a country that's really at the center of so many other important areas and important countries to the United States. It's always been a key player in any kind of Middle East peace process or Middle East war process. So it's very hard to think about the future of the Middle East without thinking about some kind of solution to the civil war in Syria. So that's really the reason we're drawn there. It is about self-interest as much as it is about any kind of moral set of concerns.
Leo, thank you very much. We go now to Jerry in Waukesha. Hi, Jerry, you're on the air.
Hi there. My comment is I'm sick and tired of the United States government trying to be the world's police. They're like the other caller commented, there's plenty of bad things happening everywhere. When everybody picks up a gun, we should just try to circumvent all that activity in other countries. That's maybe what we need to do. I don't know who's going to fund it, but to me, we've been wasting money, billions and billions and billions of dollars. We dug Saddam Hussein out of the hole in Iraq. Now we can go after Assad and spend another $20, $30, $40 billion. It's a joke. They've been fighting since Christianity over in those areas of the world, and they're never going to stop fighting. But nobody's bright enough to realize it.
Jerry, thank you for the call. Well, Professor Suri, what about that? And is it inevitable that the U.S. is going to be getting more deeply involved in this civil war?
Well, Jerry's sentiment, Joy, is one, of course, many Americans share, especially after the very discouraging and frustrating experience we've had as a country in Iraq and Afghanistan. And, of course, many callers remember Vietnam. Jerry has a good point. There's no reason why the United States should always be the world's policeman. The problem is, as Jerry also implied his question, there's no one else who's out there willing to step in. President Obama, I think, agrees with Jerry. He has tried in Syria, as he tried in Libya, as he's tried in Egypt, not to immediately move toward American intervention. He's spoken of leading from behind, of letting the allies take the lead. The problem is we have a classic case of a free rider problem in the international system. Others don't want to step in, and when they want to step in, they want to do more harm than good. We benefit enormously for all the money we spend. We benefit enormously from an international system that allows us to trade, that allows us to have access to resources we want, allows us to have markets we want. That costs money. I wish other people would pay for it. But let's recognize that we benefit enormously from this. If we simply say we're not going to get involved, it's only going to get worse. And that's going to harm us, maybe not tomorrow, but in the long run. So we need to weigh when it's appropriate to get involved and when it's not. That's what President Obama, it seems to me, is trying to do. I don't think these citizens of Syria and elsewhere are inevitably going to be fighting each other. This is a very difficult area to work in. But there have been many moments and periods of stability, just as there have been periods of warfare. We need to figure out a way to seed stability, hopefully not send too much of our treasure over there, and recognize how valuable that is to our basic economic interests. Full-scale war in the Middle East and chemical weapons going off throughout the Middle East will harm our economy very much, and people like Jerry will be on the phone in 2 months yelling at Obama for not getting involved and saving our interests.
Senator John McCain was calling for more than targeted military strikes. I think he was calling for boots on the ground. Do you see that happening?
I don't see President Obama moving in that direction soon. I think because he shares much of Jerry's sentiment. But, of course, once you get involved a little bit, you get closer and closer to that. I think we're in a situation, Joy, that's similar to President Clinton's situation with the former Yugoslavia in 1998 and 1999. And as I'm sure all your listeners remember, there were 78 days of American bombing of Serbia that in the end contributed, or maybe we got lucky, we don't know, to Slobodan Milosevic stepping down and to a much more peaceful process in Kosovo and around Serbia. I think that's the situation we're in now. I think President Obama is hoping that he can use air power to stabilize the situation and perhaps convince Assad to step down on a model of what Milosevic did in the former Yugoslavia.
Let's hold it there for now. We'll check news, and then we'll continue talking about a probable U.S. Military strike against Syria. And welcome your questions and views for our guest, Professor Jeremy Suri. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Do you support U.S. military action against Syria? That's today's big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Wednesday, August 28th. We are talking with a guest about the situation in Syria and the options before the United States. Jeremy Suri is the Mack Brown Distinguished Chair for Leadership in Global Affairs, History, and Public Affairs at the University of Texas, Austin. He is a former history professor at UW-Madison. If you have a question, if you have a view on this, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Senior U.S. government officials say that a military strike against Syria could start as early as tomorrow. They say that an attack like this is intended to send a message to the Syrian government about its use of chemical weapons rather than trying to topple it. So does that make sense? Let's go back to the phones. Lance in La Crosse is with us. Hello, Lance.
Oh, hello there. Yeah, first I'd say, I'm against attacking Syria. I don't think anyone has proven that they actually use these weapons. You know, I think someone else is using them, namely this terrorist army that we've been supporting, made up of all these Al-Qaeda, Taliban, militia, and Muslim Brotherhood-type people. The same ones we're ostensibly at war with in Iraq and Afghanistan. For some reason, we're supporting them to overthrow the legitimate government of Syria.
What about that, Professor Suri? Could the rebels be using the chemical weapons?
Well, there have been allegations in the past that the rebels are doing just what Lance said, which is that they're using weapons in one way or another to make the situation worse and encourage the United States to get in. Their tactic is to do everything possible to get American involvement here. In this case, though, it's hard to believe that because of where the rockets were fired from, which was government-held territory, of the nature of the sarin nerve gas that was used here, as far as we know, and the degree of civilian deaths that were created by this. It's possible. But most of the evidence really does point to this coming out of the stockpiles of the Syrian army, launched by the Syrian army from Syrian army territory. And there hasn't been any evidence of any rebel connection to this.
NPR News is reporting that the United Nations Security Council could consider a resolution condemning Syria for the use of chemical weapons as early as today, I believe. How does the UN view this?
Well, as I understand it, the British are the sponsors of that, or the initial sponsors of that resolution. And as I understand it, there isn't much argument against the the evidence that the Syrian government is responsible for this, except coming from Russia. Yeah. Russia seems to be denying that the evidence is sufficient, and that and the Russia seems to be alleging, as Lance did, that this might be the work of someone else. But there does seem to be an emerging consensus. As I said before, the Arab League, which is composed of really all of Syria's Arab neighbors, they have come out strongly saying they believe that the Syrian government is responsible for this. And this is a variety of neighboring Arab regimes, many of which are very critical of the United States. And the Arab League, by the way, has not come out in support of American intervention. But they do see overwhelming evidence that the Syrian government is responsible for this chemical weapons attack.
So are other countries in favor of U.S. intervention?
It appears that our European allies, particularly the British and the French, are. The French have a long-standing interest in Syria and Lebanon, and they have been moving slowly for their own reasons toward a desire to overthrow Assad. The British government seems to be very concerned about the use of chemical weapons here. So we have support there. I think a number of countries in the region, such as Turkey, which is dealing with a major refugee problem as a consequence of the civil war in Syria and is also concerned about these chemical weapons spilling over into their territory, Turkey and other countries are supportive, if not officially, at least behind the scenes. But there are many countries that will oppose this. Russia certainly is one. China has not come out, as far as I know, with an official position. But I do not think the Chinese support any use of American military force on the sovereign territory of another country. So I think what we're seeing is a pretty divided international community. It's very similar, again, to 1999 in the former Yugoslavia, where you had many countries that abhorred the behavior of the Serbian military. But you had a pretty split international community on whether or not American bombing under NATO auspices was appropriate.
Daniel in Minong asks, does the U.S. need a U.N. resolution to legitimize airstrikes on Syria?
The answer is no. We might not like that answer, but there's strong precedent, not just from the war in Iraq, but certainly from Yugoslavia in 1999. During the 78 days of American bombing, there was not a UN resolution authorizing American use of force over Serbia. What we had was a NATO resolution. The NATO countries agreed to this, but the Security Council did not in the United Nations, again, because of a Russian veto. So there is strong precedent for doing this without United Nations approval per se. But I am absolutely certain the Obama administration will seek United Nations approval, and it will certainly seek to make its case in the United Nations, and it will definitely seek to make this a joint operation with other NATO and Middle Eastern allies. You are not going to see a unilateral American action here. Just for strategic reasons, it's obviously not in the interest of the United States to be seen as doing this alone.
Let's take another call. Joe in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Joe. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Yeah, go ahead. What do you think?
Oh, well, no, I think that the UN should go into Syria because that is why the UN was created after World War II, to protect people that are being subjected to human rights violations. And it's encouraging to me to see certain nations come together and utilize the UN for its intended purpose and the reason why it was formed, instead of going into a country for its resources like oil or whatever. And the use of chemical weapons, especially when a dictator like Assad, who has a tremendous history of basically torturing his people, which is the reason why they rose up against him, turns around and does this. This just goes to show what type of a dictator he is. And that if we don't come together as an international community to end that, those types of people, what will happen is, in the long run, is we will let the next Adolf Hitler develop in an unstable region to begin with.
All right. Thank you very much, Joe. A reaction to that, Professor Suri?
Well, the United Nations was created, as Joe said, to provide both international security and protection for what in the late 1940s was enshrined in the UN Declaration on Human Rights. We've used different terms for this, but at some level, the United Nations is about protecting a set of norms about appropriate behavior within countries and across countries. Now, there's been a lot of controversy over what those norms should be and how they should be enforced, of course, but certainly the initial vision of the United Nations would have included efforts to ameliorate and hopefully prevent acts of genocide or near genocide from occurring. The problem, of course, here is that it's not clear that all members of the United Nations agree on what should be done. I think there is consensus that the civil war in Syria has gotten out of hand and reached a point where something must be done to contain and hopefully limit the killing that's going on. The question is what is to be done. And the problem with the United Nations is not only that you have so many groups and interests voiced, but the other problem is the United Nations has very limited resources. The staff of the United Nations might look large, but they don't have military forces. They don't have a lot of economic clout. And that really leaves things to the big powers. We still operate in a world where big countries have disproportionate say in what happens. And that's why the United States gets stuck in this situation where we don't want to intervene, but no one else will, and we feel something has to be done. And that's why we're having this debate, right, Joy? If the United Nations could do this for us, we wouldn't even have to talk about this.
Well, we are talking about it with Jeremy Suri. He is the Mack Brown Distinguished Chair for Leadership in Global Affairs, History, and Public Affairs at the University of Texas, Austin. He's written several books, including Liberty's Surest Guardian, American Nation Building from the Founders to Obama. And we are talking about the probable U.S. military intervention into Syria. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our big question is, do you support U.S. military action against Syria, and why or why not? This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, August 28th. In today's big question, we are asking whether or not you support U.S. military intervention in Syria following Syria's large-scale chemical weapons attack. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And Sam in Rhinelander is with us. Or I'm sorry, where are you from, Sam?
Rhine Center near Elkhart Lake.
Okay, hi. Thanks for calling. What's your point or question?
Well, quick story and a comment. I remember being in high school and watching Colin Powell on TV give his UN demonstration on the WMD in Iraq, and I remember thinking, well, man, that's crazy, we better go in there. And I had a high school teacher at the time, and he turned to me and said, you think that's true? You think those are real pictures? And I looked at him like he was crazy. Of course they are. Come on, this is Colin Powell, this is the UN. Well, it turned out they weren't real pictures, or at least they were manipulated, or I don't know it, but it certainly wasn't true. And so right now, sure, I guess it sounds like he's using chemical weapons, but no one on the news has actually talked about any sort of proof. I've just heard people say, yes, it's been decided, but I haven't heard any proof. I was really happy to hear your guest refer to some specifics about where the missiles originated and the type of gas and these kinds of things, but if he could refer us to where we could read up more about this so we could judge for ourselves, and also it would be nice if newscasters in general gave us the specific information so we could decide instead of kind of deciding for us like happened in Iraq. That's my comment.
All right. Professor Suri?
Well, Sam makes a great point. And to some extent, we have to recognize that the United States government has less credibility now than it did before 2003. Because, as Sam says, and I remember watching Colin Powell in the way he did, because the United States said things that were not true in the lead-up to the Iraq War, just as the United States government said things that were not true in 1964 about North Vietnamese attacks on American ships. This is not a new issue. Governments do often manipulate information, sometimes because of dishonesty, sometimes because of a desire to get to a particular policy point of view. Passionate people sometimes manipulate the facts without even recognizing that they're doing that. So these are all important warnings, and I agree with Sam, we need to be educated consumers. But that doesn't mean we need to think that anything we're told is a lie because we're told that. We need to investigate and look at the circumstances. It is impossible for any of us to go in and test the gas that was used. And the United Nations came as close as anyone to trying to do that. And the Syrians did not allow them to go in over the weekend. They did not allow them. Now, it's true, some of the chemical weapons will stay in the soil, but the easiest way to test where they came from is to get in soon after the attack. They've covered up the evidence, and so that makes it very hard. The circumstances all point to Assad having done this, and multiple voices do. And the best we can do as consumers is look at what others are saying, various organizations, not just the U.S. government, particularly groups that usually disagree with the U.S. government. Ask why they're saying this, ask where they're getting their information, and then look at where the preponderance of evidence is. As of now, the preponderance of evidence is pretty strongly against Assad. Evidence from non-governmental actors, evidence from Arab League states, evidence from American allies and non-allies, evidence from those who have been on the ground one way or another. Do we know 100% for sure? No. Are we 80 to 90% certain? I think we are. We will get more evidence in the next day or two. We should all read that evidence carefully, the scientific evidence, the circumstantial evidence, the witness evidence. But like anything else, if you're looking for 100% ironclad certainty, you're not going to get that here.
Thanks very much, Sam. Now we go to Bernie in Elkhorn. Hello, Bernie.
Hello, good morning. You're not going to get any objective truth out of our major media or out of our government. They're basically stenographers to power. And these passionate people that you speak of in our government are psychopathic liars. They're not, you know, they're liars. Colin Powell was a liar. George Bush was a liar. What our government has a terrible history of invading countries under false reasons, and it's always couched in democracy and trying to protect the innocent, et cetera. I wish it were true, but we've got such a bad history. We've used depleted uranium in Iraq and Afghanistan. In Iraq, they don't ask if a baby's a boy or a girl. They ask if it's normal. And there's nobody on trial for war crimes.
Bernie, what about our guest just saying that it's not just the U.S. that says this happened, so it's not just the U.S.?
Well, remember the term, the coalition of the willing? You know, it wasn't just the U.S. then either. I mean, it's the U.S. We're a global bully. We're the global superpower. We'll do what we want. And when I say we, I don't mean the average people. The average people would like it to be safe to walk down the street in Detroit at night, but our government doesn't care about that. It cares about resources in the Middle East.
Yeah. A response to that, Professor Suri?
Well, Bernie has some good points. I agree with him that we've made some terrible mistakes. I agree with him that there's hypocrisy, plenty of hypocrisy in the United States. I, by the way, agree with him also on the point about Detroit. It's a bit of a non sequitur, but it's horrible that we're allowing this major city to go through bankruptcy in the way it is. So I agree with a lot of these points. The one major difference Bernie and I have is this. The Obama administration would prefer not to go into Syria. Most people in the United States would prefer not to go into Syria. This is not a case where you have a son who wants to avenge his father or where you have a strong set of economic interests, because there's no oil in the ground in Syria. There's nothing valuable to be gained from the United States taking control of Syria. So this is not a case of the United States wanting to go in. This is a case of the United States staying out for a long time and the situation getting worse and worse, and now the use of weapons that, quite frankly, scare us. And we have to decide how to respond. It is perfectly fair to say we should not respond, as Bernie says, but to argue there's some conspiracy to get the United States involved in Syria, that doesn't seem right. It seems, if anything, the bias is against intervention by those who have power. I don't see a conspiracy at work here at all.
We have a lot of comments on our Facebook page, and so far our online poll is a vast majority against any U.S. military action against Syria. They're saying no, 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 no. Is there a political alternative to military action?
Well, there is. I guess there are two that I can think of, Joy. They're unlikely to work, but there are two. I mean, one is that it's not the United States, that it's some other group. I think your poll is showing that Americans don't want the United States to intervene, but that
right.
doesn't mean they don't want another group, the Arab mm-hmm. League or whoever else. So that would be one alternative. That would be the preferred alternative by the Obama administration. That's what President Obama would love to see happen, the Arab League or the United Nations or someone else. The second alternative is to use non-military response mechanisms, tighter sanctions, a blockade, all sorts of things that would not involve direct military intervention. I suspect that American opinion would be more divided evenly if we said we were going to go that route. I just don't think that will work, but it's possible the administration, in response to polls like yours, might decide to go the non-military route. At this point, they've said too much, Secretary of State Kerry, Vice President Joe Biden, for the United States to do nothing. It will have to show it's doing something to respond to these alleged chemical weapons attacks.
Kurt in Chippewa is with us. Hi, Kurt.
Good morning. You referred to the Arab League. Why is it that, well, let me put it this way, the Syria's Arab neighbors collectively have very significant military resources at their disposal. Why are they not exercising more proactive policies and actions in this situation?
Well, it's a great question, Kurt. The first reason is because they just wait for the United States. They prefer to free ride. But the second reason is they have a lot of trouble agreeing among themselves. They distrust each other more than they distrust the United States. So let me put that another way. They find the United States more predictable to work with than to work with each other. I mean, if you think of the membership of the Arab League, it includes Algeria, Iraq, Kuwait, Lebanon, Morocco, Saudi Arabia, Tunisia, Yemen. These countries don't generally work well together. Their rivalries are greater than any rivalries we have in our region of the world. And so they can agree that what's happening in Syria is bad, but they don't trust each other to send their respective military forces in there. They actually trust the United States more. This is a bad thing. We're asked to be their fire department, basically, and that's the situation we're stuck in.
Well, I'm only giving you a minute for this, so how is this going to end?
I think there are one of two ways it's going to end. It's either going to end with Assad being overthrown or leaving power, or a stalemate where we end up with a continuing low-level war, hopefully without chemical weapons, but with continued deaths for the next 5 years, and we stay involved only on the margins.
Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Joy.
Jeremy Suri is with the Department of Global Affairs, History, and Public Affairs at the University of Texas, Austin. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Robin Cherry, and to Christy Taylor for producing these programs. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. You can continue voting in our big question online at wpr.org/joy. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.